I want you to go to Jesse and look at his boys and find my king. You see, because God had a plan. Come on, somebody. You got to see where I'm going with this. That through illegitimacy, God still had a plan. Hallelujah. I'm talking to somebody today because whatever you do, I'm not talking about an illegitimate birth, but people think that you're illegitimate in what you do. They discard you. They put you off to the side. But don't let that discourage you because God has a plan. And it's all in the plan. So when Samuel, when he came to Jesse from the word of God saying, I want to see your boys. He looked at the oldest. The oldest was tall. He looked good. When you looked at the picture of somebody that would want somebody for a king, at least in man's eyes, that he was the picture of it. And Jesse said, look at my oldest. And Samuel says, that's not him. He brought another one of his sons up there. Fine, good-looking boy. Look at my boy. Samuel said, that's not it. He went through all of his boys. And Samuel says, none of them is it. And then he said, do you have? You think you're hiding something from God? You think the Holy Spirit ain't going to interject into somebody and make it plain? You think somebody's not going to call your bluff? He said, don't you have another one? Is there another one? And Jesse said, well, there's another one. He's out over there somewhere. He's tending the sheep. He's my youngest. But I don't think that that's who you want. He's a shepherd boy. He ain't big. He ain't strong. You don't want him. Sam said, we ain't doing nothing till you go get him. Go get him. Send for him. Somebody this morning, God is sending the Holy Spirit for you. He's touching you right now. He's sending for you. Hallelujah. Let me put this into your ear. There's a difference between Samuel and David. You see, between Saul and David, you see, when Saul was made king, the Bible says God changed his heart. But the Bible says about David, David loved God with his heart. Amen. So sometimes somebody can have a change of heart and it ain't right. But when you love God with all of your heart, God is going to take you through some things. Hallelujah. You make a mistake, but God still takes you through it because God knows your heart. Hallelujah. He don't want to know about your intentions. He knows your heart. The Bible says David was rejected by his brothers. You know, when you look at the story of David, it is Cinderella. Hallelujah. Who does the slipper fit? It ain't fit none of the other boys but David. Hallelujah. David was the opposite of what we would expect and everybody else. Usually, you know, when you're in a family and you have siblings, everybody expects the oldest. The oldest. Everybody looks up to him. Everybody's got to play along with him because they expect that this is the one who's going to make everything right. This is the one that's going to do things the right way. This is the one that's going to handle my business. But that ain't the way it is. It's not in God's plan. Most of the time, God's plan is in the youngest and not the oldest. Can somebody say amen? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. God says, do not look at his appearance or his height and stature, because I have rejected him. For God does not see man. God does not look at the outward appearance. But the Lord looks at the heart. Hallelujah. This is why, hallelujah, when David, Father Jesse told him, go feed your brothers, go take them some lunch. They were on the battlefield getting ready to fight Goliath. Not that they were getting ready to fight, they were just in a standstill. Hallelujah. The oldest son said, what you doing here? You ain't got no business around here. That was the reaction the oldest son gave him. He disregarded David. Hallelujah. If something was missing, everybody thought David stole it. Hallelujah. Made him replace it. How many times have you been in a situation and somebody falsely accused you of doing something? And because of your heart, you don't want no stress, you don't want no mess. You go ahead and take care of it. This is David. Hallelujah. When Samuel chose David to be God's anointed king, his older brothers, his whole family didn't understand what was going on. This is the boy. This is the brother. This is the guy that we despise. This is the guy that we rejected. This is the one that we humiliated. Hallelujah. Don't you know throughout the Bible, rejection, humiliated, being despised, those are the ones that God uses to bring people through. Look at Joseph. God used Joseph to bring his whole family through. God used David to get the whole children of Israel through against Goliath. Hallelujah. You see, but the thing that I want to say to you is God knew the character of David. All of the things that David had been through was in the plan of God. You see, because God picks people who are able to go through some things, who's able to go through the frustrations of life, who's able to be put down, turned over, talked about, stepped on, spit on, kicked on. He uses those people for his plan and his purpose. Amen? I want to know this morning, David had something in his heart at the core of his character. I want to know what's inside of you. What's deep down inside of you? Hallelujah. David had something deep down inside of him. Amen? But God knew what it was. Even right now, God knows some people in here today that what's inside of you is more than what we can see. We look on the outside, but God looks on the inside. Hallelujah. What's wrong with the world today? What's wrong with the church today is we think that we have a, what you call it, we have the title. We have the title of our life. You know when you buy a car, have you ever bought a car? No, come on, have you ever bought a car that you didn't pay for, that you took a loan out for? And they sent you the title, and you thought that you owned that car. But when you look at the title, there was another name on that title. I want to say to you this morning, in your life, you got a title, but that title don't belong to you. Somebody else paid for that title on your life. God already paid with his blood. Hallelujah. You don't own it. The world just makes you think that you own it. You run around saying, this is my life. I do what I want to do with it. But let me tell you something. There's a God up above who already paid the price for you. That's a God who's taken you through everything that you go through. What you're going through right now is in the plan of God for your life. Don't hold back. Don't hold on to it like you own it. God has that title on your life. He owns you and everything that you think that you own too. Hallelujah. Let me say that again. He owns you and everything that you think that you own too. Hallelujah. Your house, God owns it. Your car, God owns it. Your health, God owns it. Your job, God owns it. But when you go through something and God has blessed you, I want you to know today that it's in the plan of God for your life. When you go through something bad, it's in the plan of God for your life. That's why the Bible says when you go through trials and tribulations, count it all joy. Because God is in control. When we go through things, we don't have to worry about everybody else. We know that the God that we serve is going to take us through it. But you can only know that when you know what you know what you know. But when you don't know, you don't know. But when you know what you know, you can just lean back knowing God is going to bring you through. Hallelujah. Can we give the Lord a praise right now? The Bible says, you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. God has called each and every one of us by name. I want to know this morning, are you going to refuse to come after all that he's done for you? God is a good God that reigns always. God says that you are a person, a man or a woman of destiny. I don't care where you are right now, but you don't belong there. You trust in God. God is going to pick you up out of the miry clay. Amen. The Bible says, Peter, 1 Peter 5 and 8, it says, be on alert because the devil, your enemy, come on somebody, your enemy. You know when you have an enemy? You have an enemy? You go to school when you were, you know, go to school and somebody you didn't like and that was your enemy, you couldn't wait to fight him. You couldn't wait to have that fight. Or maybe you were running away from that fight. I don't know which one you were doing. Oh, hallelujah. Because some of us like to run away from a fight. And some of us like to fight. Hallelujah. I'm somewhere in the middle. I don't like to fight, but I'll fight. And once I start, I'm starting to like it. The Bible says, be on alert and of sober mind. That means you got to pay attention. We too busy with all the things in the world. Everything is just taking our attention away. We just like little cats. You ever see a cat? You put something over here, they're here. You put it over there, they're there. They can't pay. The Bible says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy. He didn't say my enemy. He said your enemy. If it's your God, it's your enemy. You need to take ownership of that. He's your enemy. Prowls around like a roaring lion. Looking. He ain't sleep. We sleep. The devil's not sleep. We sleep. Let me say that again. The devil ain't sleep. We sleep. And then when something happens, we want to know what happened. Because you're sleeping. Hallelujah. Looking for someone to devour. But in the meantime, when you know God, Jeremiah 29, 10 says, for God says, I know the plans. Didn't I say it's all in the plan? That God has a plan for you, and it's all in the plan. Jeremiah says, God says that he has plans for you to prosper. Today, when you hear this message, I pray that you are fulfilling your appointment with your destiny. I want you to know that God sees your character and not your cover. We think we can cover it all up, but you know what? Stink comes through the cover. You could be all dressed up, but if you're not washed, some of us are walking around all covered up, but we stink because we're not washed. Can I say that again? Some of us are all covered up, but we stink because we're not really washed in the blood of the Lamb. So we stink. The odor's oozing out of everything we do. It's in our speech. It's in our character. It's how we deal with people. It's in our walk. It's in our talk. It's on our jobs. It's in our marriages. It's in our relationships. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I'm talking to somebody. Hallelujah. David's character, what God knew it. It was evident in his life before his family saw it. Hallelujah. Sometimes it takes a while for the human eye, even the people you live with. Whew. I'm going to hurt somebody today. It takes a while, even for some people that you live with. Let me say it over here. It takes a while, even for somebody you live with, to understand your character, to understand your purpose, to understand your call. Because your call is not their call. So it takes a while for somebody to understand the plan that God has for your life. And if they don't understand when God calls, you better listen. He ain't going to keep calling you. Hallelujah. God may have spoken to you over and over again about how he wants to use you, his desires for you. And I'm going to tell you something else. When God calls you, you can't ignore it. You know it. But we act ignorant of the call. You ever call somebody and they act like they don't hear? Sometimes my wife has called me and I don't feel like doing it. And I act like I don't hear. And then she get a little louder. And then sometimes she get a little louder. And then sometimes she'll come downstairs and say, didn't you hear me? And I say, what? God is calling some of us sometimes. And we act like we don't hear him. And then he calls us again, and we act like we don't hear him. But let me tell you something. When God come down and touch you, you better watch out. You better watch out. You better watch out. You better watch out. Oh! I want to tell you this story about a boy named Michael. There's a boy named Michael. Can you say Michael? Michael was a plain kid growing up. Somebody say hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Michael and his little friends in school, they were mischievous. Can you understand that? They did little things. Hallelujah. And every now and then, they got into trouble. But every time they got into trouble, it seemed like Michael was nowhere around. And when his friends found Michael, they say, Michael, Where were you when we was getting in trouble? Michael say, it's all in the plan. As they was going around and they was going to school, they was going to high school. It seemed like Michael kept cutting out of school. And every time you turned around, Michael wasn't in class. Michael didn't take tests. Everybody just knew that Michael was going to not get through high school. That when graduation time came, they just knew Michael wouldn't be there. But on that day, Michael came with his robe to graduate high school, and Michael graduated. They don't know how Michael graduated, but Michael came with his robe. He got his diploma. He left with everybody else. Everybody, some went to high, some went to college. Some got jobs. 10 years later, they got a high school reunion, and everybody got together, and everybody looking for Michael because they think that something happened to Michael because Michael, the way he was, he couldn't have possibly made it. No way Michael made it. When Michael didn't show up to the high school reunion, they said, let's go find Michael. Surely Michael must be in jail. So they went to the jailhouse to see if Michael was in there. But Michael wasn't in there. They said, surely Michael must be working as a janitor somewhere. But Michael wasn't working as a janitor in the library. Surely we don't know where Michael is. So they went back to the school where they were having the reunion. And they said to somebody, we just don't know where Michael is. And they said to another former classmate, do you know where Michael is? Well, I'm getting ready to go where Michael is. Do you want to go with me where Michael is? They said, yeah, take us to Michael. They get together. They get on the highway. They go like 10 miles. They come to this big, beautiful sanctuary, and all of a sudden they said, surely Michael must be the janitor in this sanctuary. Michael can't possibly be a member of this church. Michael's probably doing the gardening outside. She said, come on, I'm going to take you to Michael. So she takes him into the office, this big, beautiful office, and all of a sudden Michael comes in the office. They said, Michael, what are you doing in here? Are you cleaning? He said, no, I'm the pastor in this church. They said, Michael, how are you the pastor in this church? He said, it's all in the plan. They said, well, Michael, you've been saying that for years. What plan you talking about? He said, let me tell you something. I grew up in a house. I had a single mother. You guys, y'all had a mother. You had a father. When y'all got in trouble, somebody was there waiting for you. But when I got home, my mother was there, and she was there waiting for me. And she would say to me, Michael, I don't know what you're doing out there, but let me tell you something. Whatever you're doing, I'm praying for you, because it's all in God's plan. I don't know what you're going through this morning. I don't know what the devil is trying to do, but I'm here to tell you this morning that it's all in God's plan. I'm telling you this morning to hold on to God's unchanging hand, because it's all in God's plan. You might be sick, but God is using you as a testimony today. It's all in God's plan. You might not have a job this morning, but God's got another title for you. It's all in God's plan. Your marriage might be on the rocks, and people are looking to see if you're going to fall down. But let me tell you something. Hold on to God's unchanging hand, because it's all in God's plan. Your children might be acting up. They might be going through some changes, but keep on praying, because it's all in God's plan. God has a plan, and it's all in the plan. Hallelujah. It ain't what it looked like. Hallelujah. It ain't what it looked like. You looking it through your eyes, but God, you got to look through spiritual eyes today. Hallelujah. It's all in the plan. Hallelujah. Let us stand this morning. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Give him a hallelujah. 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 Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's why when I saw that song that this morning, it says he always guides me through mountains and valleys. His joy is refreshing. He restores my soul. Mercy and goodness. Mercy and goodness. It don't just help me out. It gives me assurance. We talked about insurance and assurance. You don't need no insurance when you got the assurance of God. Oh, hallelujah. This morning, I know that we got things going on. I know that life ain't all that we thought it was going to be 2 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago. If you knew it was going to be like this, some of us would say, I would have did something different. But you could do what you want to do, because when God has a plan, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. There's a statement that Saul made in the Bible before he became king, and they wanted to change some things. And he said, who was I to change the plans of God? When God has a plan for your life, who are you? Yes, God loves you. Yes, he thinks of you. But who are you to change God's plans? He says, I am that I am. If I ask you who you are, you're going to give me your name. But God is so, he is so big. He is so great. He didn't even name himself. I am that I am. He guides you this morning through whatever mountain and whatever valley you're going through. Count it all joy. Because when he says he has plans for you to prosper, that means that valley, you're going to get out of there. That mountaintop, he'll keep you there. Hallelujah. If you don't know the Lord today, know that he has plans for you. He knew you when you were in your mother's womb. He selected you to live. You. A lot of people ain't here today because they wasn't selected. But he selected you. He gave you another opportunity. And he still gives you a choice. He won't make you. He won't beg you. You know? But he showed you. He showed you. You see that cross? He showed you. words don't mean how many times people have told you things. Might get done, might not. But he showed you. You see, in the Old Testament, he gave out a lot of words. And people still didn't, they still didn't respect them. They still didn't understand. They still didn't believe. And then he sent his son down to show you. If you don't know him today, let me tell you something. I don't care what age you are. Like I said, my friend's stepson, 27. Those of us who's on the prayer line, we know that Brother Mike lost his stepdaughter at 35. God is no respecter of age. A person, what you promise that you're going to do when you get to a certain point, because that's not guaranteed.